الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. I would like to begin with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to observe this, the Azan of Sayyid al-Shuhada, especially during the first Ashura this year, which was done peacefully. As far as I know, as Canada and US and Australia, that's where I was. The only exception, of course, we had in Muscat. It's a place where I've been three times. And I used to consider Oman to be the safe place for the Shias and the freedom to practice their faith. Unfortunately, the extremists considered that to be an opportunity for them, where they attacked the mourners of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the eve of Ashura, killing a number of people and wounding some of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave guidance to those who are misguided. And if they are totally close to the guidance, may Allah eliminate their sources, inshallah. One of the first victims of a conflict between haqq and batil, between right and wrong, is the truth itself. This is where, when the unjust party tries to justify its actions and basically demonize and blame the victims for what is happening. Imam Hussain alayhi salam predicted such when he left Medina, he predicted this move by the tyrants like Yazid. Especially, he inherited this entire department from his father, which was a propaganda department. And he knew that, you know, whatever I do, they will always try to basically, you know, paint my motivations from the worldly point of view. And this is where he wrote this first written document about Karbala, is his written will about his purpose. It's a will unlike the normal wasiyyat that we write. And there he makes it very clear, basically, to negate all ulterior motives that they will ascribe towards him. Right in the beginning, after the preamble of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet, the very first statement, لَمْ أَخْرُجْ عَشِرًا وَلَا بَطِرًا وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا. Four things he negates right in the beginning. He says, I have neither risen against Yazid out of pride nor out of insolence. وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا, neither as the one who wants to create disorder in the society, وَلَا ظَالِمًا, nor as a tyrant, somebody who denies the rights of others. And it's only after that that he very clearly says, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِسْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. I have only reason for one purpose, and that is to seek reformation in the community of my grandfather. It wasn't for any worldly gain. And so this was basically to deflect any wrong motivations which would be ascribed to him by the Umayyad government at the time. And this is actually, you know, this has been in history for a long, long time, where the tyrants always, you know, try to blame the victims. And it continues even now. You know, even if you look at the present conflict in the Gaza Strip, it's the same situation. You have the Israeli prime minister coming to the U.S. Congress, and in his talk, he does the same thing. Interestingly, a journalist from UK, Ruth Michelson in The Guardian, she basically said, let us check the facts about what he has said. Two, three items she singled out. I'll only talk about two of them. Where he talks about the food aid for Gaza. And he says that the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court said that Israel is deliberately starving the people of Gaza. Netanyahu, in that talk at the Congress, says this is utter nonsense. Israel has enabled more than 40,000 aid trucks to enter Gaza. So the problem is, just sitting there in the Congress, wouldn't go and see the figures, whether it's true or not. This journalist has done that, and she says, according to the UN data that we have, only 28,018 trucks entered Gaza since the war. And there's a big difference between 28 and 40,000. The second issue about safeguarding civilians, the International Criminal Court prosecutor has accused Israel of deliberately targeting civilians. Netanyahu there responds by saying, what in God's green earth is he talking about? And then how does he justify that, or, you know, respond to that? He says, IDF just dropped millions of flyers, you know, and sent hundreds of text messages to the Palestinian civilians to get out of the harm's way. Well, you know, if you look at the impact there, even according to UN and other observers, you know, 90% of Gaza's population has been forced to flee at least once, and many have been displaced more than 10 times. And even the so-called humanitarian zones declared by IDF has been attacked. The journalist, I would say, you know, she forgot to compare the number of the flyers dropped by Israeli, you know, helicopters or planes. You know, he says, Netanyahu says millions of flyers. I think that's what you should compare with the number of bombs dropped on Gaza Strip. And compare the numbers there, and you will see that, you know, the latest number is that 75,000 tons of explosives have been dropped on the Gaza Strip. Just as a way of comparison, you know, when the Germans went on attacking London in the Second War in 1940 and 1941, and they created havoc there, they dropped 18,000 tons. And here we are talking about 75,000 tons of explosives in such a small, you know, piece of earth there. And this is where we have to realize, you know, we are followers of the Quran. Eventually the tide will turn against the tyrants. As you know, as we have seen time and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah number 26, he says very clearly, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. And those who act justly shall soon know their final place when the times finally change. And inshallah, we'll see that change soon. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصل بالحق والتواصل بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة من ذنوبكم. You know, this phenomenon of blaming the victim, as I said, is nothing new. It has been seen in history time and again, before Islam, in Islam, even now. Going back to the situation in Karbala, you know, from very beginning, the attempt was to change the narrative from what is the reality there. This whole phenomenon of considering the day of Ashura to be the day of celebration is one way of dealing with it. Means, mashallah, you know, every good thing in human history happened on the day of Ashura. The acceptance of the Tawbah of Adam, you know, the settling down of the Ark of Noah, the parting of the sea for Musa, Ibrahim, you know, being rescued from this fire. Anything good that they have history, they said, hey, this happened on Ashura. And so it is a day of happiness, just to water down what they had done on the day of Ashura to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. So there are all different ways. So they don't even mention the name of Imam Hussein or in Karbala. They will just say, irrespective of that, this is what happened. And, you know, this is where the whole issue of even istihbab of fasting on that day has come up. And this is where they go to the extent that it's not only Yazid and his people during that time who would go around and try to change the narrative. Their impact has survived. If you look at Ibn Taymiyyah, the thinker of this Salafi group, the Wahhabis, he died in Hijri calendar 728. You know, he actually is in total denial about what happened in Karbala, as if he has his head in the sand. You know, he says, for Yazid, لم يأمر بقتل الحسين. He says, it's not true that Yazid is the one who commanded that Hussein be killed. وَلَوْ حُمِلَ رَأْسُهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And the head of Hussein was not taken or presented to him. وَلَا نَكَثَ بِالْقَضِيبُ عَلَى ثَنَايَاهُ. And it's not Yazid who actually, you know, used his stick to hit on the teeth of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Then he tried to deflect, this is to protect Yazid. He says, all this was done by Ibn Ziyad. And this is another, you know, tactic, basically to save the Khalifa and to blame the officers underneath him. وَلَطِيفَ بِرَأْسِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. He says, and it's not true that the head of Imam Hussein was, you know, paraded all over the, major cities in the Muslim world at that time. وَلَا سُبِيَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ. And no one from the family of Hussein was arrested or made a prisoner. And this is in his book, questions about Yazid bin Muawiyah. His response to that question. Even before him, actually, There was a scholar in Egypt by the name of Ibn al-Arabi, not to be confused with Ibn Arabi. Even many scholars get in confusion. There is one Ibn al-Arabi from Egypt, who was a faqih, whereas Ibn Arabi without Alif Lam is the Indonesia from Andalusia, who is the master of the Sufi groups. So this is the faqih in Egypt. He died in 543. He actually uses even more strong words by saying, وَمَا قُتِلَ لَحُسَيْنِ إِلَّا بِسَيْفِ جَدِّهِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then Hussein was not killed except by the sword of his grandfather. And how does he explain that? لِأَنَّ بَيْعَةُ يَزِيدِ قَدْ سَبَقَتْ وَلَحُسَيْنِ بَاغَ عَلَيْهِ. Because the bay'at of Yazid came before, and Hussein rebelled against him. And so that bay'at of Yazid, done by Muawiyah actually, forced on the Ummah by Muawiyah during his latter days, it says because that came first, so that is valid. And Hussein opposed to him, and that is a rebellion. And this is where he actually was, unfortunately, influenced by a so-called spiritual master. This is the irony. Imam Ghazali, everybody has heard his name, a very famous figure among the Sufis. His book, Ihya al-Ulum, has been translated by many different people at different times in English. It is very well, considered to be many, many texts for spirituality. And there, Imam Ghazali actually has a discussion. Sometimes, I wonder, what was the, where had their aql gone, really? He talks about, it's an akhlaqi chapter about ethics and morality. And one of the things which are considered to be negative in Islamic akhlaq is su'u dhann, means to have suspicious thoughts about a fellow Muslim. As an example, what he brings? He says, we are not sure about Yazid, whether he did all this or not. So to have suspicious thoughts about him is haram. Actually, he had another problem. The problem was somewhere else. Because then he says, يَحْرُمُ عَلَى الْوَاعِظِ ذِكْرُ الْحُسَيْنِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ. It is haram for the speakers to talk about Hussein and his companions. So as a dari, everything is now haram according to Imam Ghazali. Why? لَأَنَّهُ يُهَيِّجُ عَلَى بُغْضِ الصَّحَابَةِ. Because it... One, in one way or another, it will incite this hatred towards the Sahaba. In order to prevent that, he's saying, don't talk about Hussein. Don't talk about the Ashab of Imam Hussein. And this is where, the Wahhabis and Salafis have a serious problem, because you leave all these issues about Shia Sunni on the side, about Khilafat and Imamat, about Hadith. Just look at the event of Karbala. 50 years after the passing away of Rasulullah, Muslims kill him. So the question comes up, anybody who studied the history of Karbala will be forced to think about it. Why did it happen? And when you start looking for the chain of cause and effect going backwards, you will actually end up, and I'm sorry to say that, but I will say it, you will end up at the door of Saqifa. And that is why the historians sometimes say, قُتَلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمَ السَّقِيفَ. His death didn't happen on that day. The seed was planted in Saqifa itself. And that is why Imam Ghazali is saying it's haram for the speakers to talk about Hussein and his companion, because it will lead to somewhere else. And this is not only the scholars who came in the past. Just a few years ago, one of the Arab programs, somebody sent me a clip which had a segment, a TV program which says, Ma'a Sama'at al-Shaykh, an audience with the respected Shaykh, in which Shaykh Abdul Aziz al-Shaykh, the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, was the responder to the questions. And a lady asked a question online about Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Yazid. And his response now, so we are talking about even during the present time, he says, allegiance of Yazid bin Muawiyah was shari'i. It was legitimate. According to the Sharia, which was taken at the time of his father Muawiyah, and people had accepted. But after Muawiyah died, Husayn ibn Ali withdrew their allegiance. There was no issue of withdrawing. He didn't even do the allegiance even during the days of Muawiyah. Anyway. So now he says that Husayn, in the decision not to give allegiance, was wrong. Because the allegiance to Yazid was legitimate. It had just taken place during the days of his father Muawiyah, witnessed by the people. And so then he says at the end, but after all, we ask Allah to be happy with Hussein and request Allah to forgive him, for whatever, he had done. And so we should not be even talking about this issue of Karbala and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is where we see this whole issue of trying to blaming the victim is nothing new. It happened in the past. Karbala is the prime example for us, and it's going on now. And it is to these kinds of people that we say, in Ziyarat Wa'idh, فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً صَمِيَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. The last category is those who heard about it, or read about it, or came to know about it, and they were pleased with it, because they are all, in a way, part of this same group of Yazid. But the name of Hussein will never die. It will continue. MashaAllah, we see, just a personal note, when I visited Australia 30 years ago, first time, to Melbourne, the association was already there registered, but there was no center. They hired a hall in the school for 12 nights, and they told me this is the first live ashra we are having. Before that, they used to use these video cassettes. There was no internet those days anyway. And they used to do the azadar in that way. When I visited them 10 years after that in 2004, MashaAllah, you had the Mambara, a resident alim there from Pakistan. And now I've gone to Sydney 20 years after that, the third visit. And when I look at the reports around there, Melbourne has 4 centers, Sydney has about 10. Brisbane, Adelaide, all these major cities in Australia. Especially the influx of Pakistani immigrants, and more than them, the Hazara community. We have to realize that there are people who suffer for one reason or another, especially the Hazara from Afghanistan and Kuwait area, and they end up, migrating to different parts of the world. But remember, this is Allah's plan. Where you had no Imambara, for example, in Melbourne 30 years ago, now you have, all the Husseiniyas and centers, and Azaf Sayyid al-Shahada is done in that continent in a very powerful manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept our amal and give us the tawfiq to be sincere in what we do, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا صار البدء والتغيان حادم يا ابنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه علي وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه ذكرى. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.